The recording has started. Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you today. God bless each and every one of you on today. We are certainly grateful today again that the Lord has enabled us to come into this place to worship Him. And we're so grateful tonight. As always, truly the Lord is good to us. We pray on tonight, people of God, that you had a most blessed day on today. Amen. Glory to God. We pray on today that, as always, that you were able to give God some of your time. Amen. Glory to God. We're just grateful today, for the Lord is good to us. He's good to us. He's so worthy to be praised. Glory to God. And I tell you, I'm just, as always, grateful to the Lord. I'm grateful to the Lord for another day. As the scripture declares, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And here we are yet again, people of God. We have come, amen, to give God thanks, give God praise for all that He's doing in the midst of us. Amen. Glory to God. So we thank God today. Want to thank Him. For you, for each and every one of you, people of God, for coming out to be a part of the PNN on tonight. For our international listeners, we thank God for you. We thank God on tonight for all of our listeners all over the world, wherever you are. As we always say, wherever these sound waves rest upon your ear, we just want to let you know that we appreciate you for tuning in. Thank you, thank you, you as always. Thank you for coming in to be a part of the Prayer News Network Global. For our listeners that are listening on Facebook, we thank God for you. For those of you that are listening by way of internet, we thank God for you. Those of you that are dialing in, we just give God thanks and we just give God praise for, again, each and every one of you on tonight. As you're coming in, people of God, we want to ask you to go ahead and invite someone to come and be with you on tonight. Invite someone to come, glory to God, and join in on tonight in the service of the Lord. Amen. Jesus, glory to God, we're certainly going to endeavor not to be before you long on tonight. Amen. But we thank God for you, as always, for coming in to be with us. Amen. Glory be to God. Go ahead, and as you come in, we want to ask you to go ahead and invite someone to come and be with you on tonight. Invite someone to come and be with you on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. We're excited, as always. We're excited. Amen. We're excited, excited, excited. Glory be to God. We're excited on tonight. And we just want to thank God for our leaders on tonight, all of our leaders. I want to thank God for my leaders, the late Apostle Dr. S.D. James, and as well our senior apostle on tonight, Senior Apostle Samuel Huggins James. Amen. For my pastor, Apostle D.G. Taylor. Just want to thank God tonight for the PNN advisors. Amen. For our prayer warriors as well. I want to thank God for our scripture reader on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. We just thank Him. We praise Him again for each and every one of you on today. We thank the Lord for you on today. Glory to God. And as you are getting ready to come in on tonight, amen, Jesus, as you position yourself on tonight, glory to God, we want to go ahead and try to try to get ready, amen, for our scripture reader on to, not our scripture reader, amen, but for our sanctification of line. We're going to ask Missionary Fan if she could sanctify our line tonight and for our scripture reader. Amen, Jesus. We're going to try to get our speaker up a little early on tonight. Glory to God. So while you're coming in, people of God, while you're coming in, go ahead and invite someone, amen, to come in and be a part of tonight's service. Get your pen, your pencil, your paper, whatever you're going to need to take your notes on tonight, do that. Amen. Glory to God. So we're going to ask Missionary Fan if you will come with our scripture, with our sanctification of line, and thereafter our scripture reader on tonight. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit praise his name. Even death could not hold him captive. Even in the grave, Jesus is Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit praise his name. Even death could not hold him captive. Even in the grave, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. For he has risen from the dead, and I know he's Lord. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this day, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, thanking and praising you for your goodness and your mercy. Thanking and praising you, Lord God, for your loving kindness. Thanking and praising you, Lord God, for your goodness, Lord God, for you have been so good to us, Lord God. And tonight we said thank you. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look upon us once again, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Look upon this land tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come tonight, Lord God, with uplifting hands, Lord God, and an open heart, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look upon us tonight, Lord God, and forgive us, Lord God, for anything that we may have done that wasn't pleasing to your sight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, anything we may have thought, Lord God, that just wasn't like you, any sin we may have committed, Lord God, any iniquities, Lord God, anything, Lord God, that we have done, Lord God, this day that you wasn't pleased with, we come asking you to forgive us, Lord God. We come with repentant heart, Lord God, asking you to look upon us tonight, Lord God, and be merciful unto us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we come tonight, Lord God, asking you, Lord God, that once again to create in us a clean heart and renew, Lord God, a right spirit within us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we come tonight, Lord God, asking you not to let our coming be in vain, Lord God. Let our coming be perfect, Lord God. We come, Lord God, tonight just to hear from you, Lord God, just to hear, Father, from you, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, with open hearts, Lord God, waiting to hear what the Spirit would be saying unto us, Lord God, this night. In the name of Jesus, we come tonight, Lord God, just asking you to move, Lord God, by your spirit and by your power, Lord God, on each and every one of us on the line tonight, Lord God, every country, Lord God, every city, every state, Lord God, every home that's represented tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, every ear that's listening tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to move, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Save, Lord God, deliver and set free. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Heal, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Somebody, Lord God, is laying on their bed of affliction. Someone, Lord God, is just don't know what to do. But we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, to let them know that you're the answer for the world today, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, you are the doctor, Lord God, that never lost a case, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask for you tonight, Lord God, just to have your way. Let your will be done tonight on this line, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, let your will be done. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, send your choice anointing tonight, Lord God. We receive it, Lord God, tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord God, with open hearts, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we come to receive, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, move on your word tonight, Lord God. Move in your word, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, continue, Lord God, to give us directions, Lord God, to continue, Lord God, to change our heart, Lord God. Continue, Lord God, to make us ready, Lord God, for your coming, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, help us, Lord God, to apply every word that you have sent, Lord God, this week. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, help us to apply to our life, Lord God, so we can say yes, Lord, yes to your will, Lord God, yes to your way. So we can say, Lord God, we'll obey you in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Move on, Minister Bradley, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Touch it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Open up the windows of heaven, Lord God, and bless her in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you right now. We magnify you. We glorify you. We lift you up this night, Lord God. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, Jesus. Hallelujah to your name. Glory to your name, Jesus.
Giving honor to God, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Evangelist Bradley, to our speaker for tonight, to our PNN advisors, to our PNN prayer wars, and to all our listeners near and far. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest seal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I have read Psalms 8. May God have a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and the doers of his holy word.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God tonight for the blessing. Amen. For the blessing of the line, sanctification of the line. We thank him tonight for the word. Amen. Jesus, our scripture reading. Glory to God. Truly the Lord is excellent. And we give God thanks and we give God praise on tonight. Again, we just want to ask you, if you've not invited anyone to come to the line tonight, please, ma'am, please, so go ahead and invite them to come and be a part of the broadcast on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. So we give God thanks. We give God praise. Amen, Jesus. And now, people of God, we are ready for the word on tonight. And our speaker tonight, amen, she was with us last night. Glory to God. And she is back with us again tonight. Long standing schedule for Sundays and Mondays. So we give God thanks and praise for her, for sacrificing her time to come and be with us. We thank God, amen, Jesus, for the word. Even so, on last night, were you blessed by the word? I just believe you were. Glory to God. So tonight, people of God, we want you to prepare your hearts, prepare your minds. I want you to get ready again, get your pen and your paper. As we bring to the platform our speaker tonight by way of Banks, Alabama, glory to God, Jerusalem Temple Evangelistic Pentecostal Church, people of God, we want you to receive tonight none other than Prophetess Sharon Duncan. God bless you, woman of God.
Amen. Bless the name of Jesus on tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's good to gather with the saints from all over. Bless his name. God has surely been good to us. He's brought us all from a mighty long way. He's given us another chance to breathe his breath. Hallelujah. We didn't have to be here today. He didn't promise tomorrow to us. We don't know what's going to happen the next minute. We only have right now in this time. Bless his name. And so this is a good time and a good place to be saved, to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Bless his name. And I want to thank him tonight for protocol that's already been established. And I do honor my pastor tonight, Lindsay, and the woman of God, Minister Bradley, tonight, and all of our advisors and the prayer warriors, and each of you from every nation, every city, state, wherever you are from tonight or today or this afternoon. God bless you for taking the time out to come and hear what the Lord has to say. And so, Father, I give you thanks and praise tonight for your word. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to thank and praise you tonight for releasing an anointing tonight that would make this word easy, God, that would make preaching easy, that would make this atmosphere conducive, oh God. Release, God, your power and your presence tonight over this atmosphere against this night where the witches and the warlocks, God, are on high alert tonight, God. Bind the prince of the powers of the air. Bind every interference and every interruption that has been released tonight in the heavens, in the atmosphere, oh God, beyond the second heaven, in the second heaven. Bind and bring down every stronghold tonight. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. We cover every household represented in the name of Jesus with the blood of Jesus on this night. Glory be to God. And I thank you, God, for sealing this night with your blood, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And people of God, we were dealing with the fear of God on last night. But I have to release this before I get into that, because tonight, as we know, is the night of Halloween. This is October the 31st, which is a big celebration, including many churches and many Christians, as we know, celebrate because of ignorance. And this is worldwide. God is saying that this is the most dangerous time to acknowledge or take part in this demonic act. This is a time of great bloodshed and sacrifices and eating of flesh, especially of children. This month, continue on through December, there are increase of more strange deaths that will happen. Many Christians still celebrating Christmas. I know, but Jesus wasn't born in that day, which is a pagan worship. Christmas and Halloween is under the same demonic force. The spread of death is increasing around the world because of lawlessness and the sin and the iniquity. I have to say this tonight before I get into the fear, because all of these things are happening because there is a lack of fear in the churches and in the nation. And the pale horse in Revelation chapter 6 is manifesting in full strength. And we are, and when he opened, it says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth be saying. So the seals are open already. And so Revelation is being unfolded. Say, come and see. Verse 8 says, I look and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. This is the night for children to not be outside. celebrating, trick, or treating anything else, especially the Christians' kids. Right now, as we gather on this line, the screams and voices of kids are being heard because they are being used as sacrificial rituals for in honor of Satan and this night. Oh, God. This, what God is saying is this, your child, not your child, but people's children, the enemy is attacking them because Satan is bloodthirsty. He knows that blood has a lot of power, and he's a copycat of Jesus. And so the screams of innocent kids are happening right tonight. Some are being kidnapped. You will hear about kidnappings of children, bless his name, because they're kidnapping these people to do what they need to do. This is not even the year to send our kids to celebrate this demonic act. We as Christians should not be celebrating it because the origin of the celebration is about the dead. A lot of people do know the origin of a lot of things, but this is about the dead. This is a celebration of Satan, a celebration of bloodshed, a celebration of evil. As children of God, we cannot take these types of warning lightly. This is time to be sensitive to what is going on in this last hour. This is not a joke. There are witches and warlocks that are preying on young children, casting spells on the candies that they collect. From midnight, these witches got together, casting and sending out spells and attacks. Many people will cry for widespread death and sorrow are in the earth, for we are in the days of labor and sorrow. Satan knows that his time is short. Isaiah chapter 5 and 14 said, therefore, hell had enlarged herself and opened her mouth with wide without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiced shall descend into it. This is the time to be under the blood of Jesus like never before. Got to stay under the blood. We have to stay under the blood because these are some dangerous times. And so tonight I will get back into what God is saying, and he was talking about the way we as his people and the nation and the leaders doesn't have any fear for him. Bless his name. And Nehemiah and Malachi addressed four type of sins that was released, four type of areas that was released and that they were dealing with. The first one is that they dealt with it was in the priesthood, how the priest was dealing with perversion. There was so much perversion, and if you look around today, there's a lot of perversion going on in the priesthood. People, you go on YouTube and all of these apps, you see them being exposed for they were hiding in the closet, but now God is exposing them and bringing forth their wickedness. You understand what God is saying? That he is tired and he is angry of them, and you know, we talked about it last night where they're offering polluted and things upon the altar. They're giving God all type of sacrifices that he's not pleased with. Bless his name. But Malachi chapter 2 and 9 says, therefore have I also made you base. And he's talking about the leaders, the priests. I have made you base before all the people according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. And so what God is saying, hallelujah, tonight, that they were compromising. If we look at it, a lot of compromising and sugarcoating is going on. So God had Malachi and Nehemiah to address the compromising that was going on in the body of Christ and among the priesthood. Bless his name. And let me go down here to Nehemiah chapter 13 from verse 4 says, and before this Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offering and the frankincense and the vessels and the tithes of corn and new wines and oil, which was commanded to give to the Levites and the singers and the porters and the offering of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in this is verse 6, for in the two and thirtieth year of Xerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days I obtained leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib, did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God, and it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded and they cleansed the chambers, and thither I brought again the vessels of the house of God with me, and the meat offering and the frankincense. And so this priest was doing a lot of abominable things in one of the chambers in the house of the Lord. And Nehemiah said he had to come and cleanse the house of God. The second thing that they dealt with back then that is happening now is mixed marriages. God wants us to have godly children. And so Malachi addresses this, and Malachi chapter 2, 11 through 17 says, The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacle of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regarded not the offering any more, or receiving it with goodwill. And so these people were doing a lot of abomination, but they have the audacity to cover the Lord's altar, to come to the altar, and was crying out to the Lord. And so God was grieved with these leaders, and grieved with what they were doing in his house. Yet ye say, wherefore, in verse 14, because the Lord had been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. So not only was God dealing with sin in the nation, but he's looking at the marriages today, because marriage represents Christ and the church. So God was dealing with every area back then, and today is no different. Bless his name. 15 says, and did not he make one? He's saying tonight, I make you one flesh. Yet had he the residue of the spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. So God was looking for godly children. In other words, God was saying, you can't just pick anyone to marry in this hour. You can't just marry God. It has to be of God, because your children, who you marry and their background and what could happen to them, it can rub off on your children. They will carry your trait and the characteristic of that person. And so God was telling them, Israel went out and married all type of heathen around them, and God was telling them not to do it, but they didn't have any fear of God, and so they went out and did what they felt like doing. Verse 16 said, for the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hated putting away. This is talking about divorce. He hates divorce. For one covered violence with his garment, said the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. And when he talk about violence, when you look at it, a man and a wife, a man would fight for his wife. People, and domestic violence is prominent in this hour, where people are killing each other because of some type of other relationship, and because of things that are going on in marriage, people have no patience, or they're killing. So God said, you're dealing treacherously with violence and things that are happening in marriage. Nehemiah said, and their children, Nehemiah chapter 13, 24 to 27 says, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jewish language, but according to the language of each people. And so their children, the Jewish children, could not even speak the original language, because they were mixing and mingling with different. Ashdod is a god. That is a heathen god. And so they were marrying people that were worshiping heathen god, and God had a problem with it. And many in the body of Christ, we marry people that don't believe the same thing that we believe. That you marry people, the Bible said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If they don't believe what you believe, it can cause confusion in your marriage. You go in one way and your husband go in one way. And so God is saying tonight, it's a problem. And I contended, verse 25 says, and I contended with them and cursed them. So he cursed them, and he said, I smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons for yourself. And so he got mad and he got radical and he began to deal with the people. If you deal with the people like that today, they say, oh, that leader is rough, that leader is wrong, that leader is out of order for touching God's people and taking authority in his own hand. But if we look at this man, this prophet today, he took action. It said he smote them. He started striking them, pulling out their hair, and dealt with them. And then it says, verse 26, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of God, and God made him king over Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. And so God used Solomon as an example, because we know Solomon had many wives and concubines, and he was sinning in the eyes of God. These people made Solomon sin. These wives made Solomon turn their back on God. And so God is saying, you need to be careful who you marry, because they could pull you away from what you believe. They can pull you away from what God has told you to do. They can pull you away from answering the call. We can't connect with anybody for marriage, because God is seeking not only godly marriage, but godly kids. 27 said, shall we then hearken unto you to do all these great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? That's a question that was asked. Malachi chapter 2:11 says, Judah had dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and Jerusalem, for Judah had profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and had married the daughters of a strange God. So it was profanity for them to go and marry strange people that are worshiping strange gods. If somebody is not believing you or has a different idea or coming up against God, and you fall in love and you all excited, but you're not looking at the spirit that is coming with that person, rebellion and disobedience, a lack of fear. So we got to be careful, because God is saying in this hour, he's the one that is joining you together. And so if you see traits and things that does not represent God, then it's time to break off running, no matter how you feel. Verse 12 said, the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacle of Jacob, and him that offered an offering unto the Lord of hosts. He said, if they did these type of things, he will cut them off. God is getting ready to cut off some people who are not listening to his voice, who are not obeying his instruction in this hour. And this have ye done again, verse 13, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regarded not the offering any more, or receive it with goodwill at your hand. So God is saying tonight, they come to his house on the altar crying and weeping. And he said, but even though you weeping and crying out and giving offering, he said, I am not going to regard it. I'm not going to receive it. It don't mean anything to me, because you messing up. You don't have no fear of me. You're not listening to me. You're not obeying me. And many in the body of Christ is doing these things today. They're coming into the house of the Lord, going to the altar, crying out, weeping before God, but have not totally repented, have not totally changed, still dabbling in a lot of stuff that God is displeased with. Verse 14 says, yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And so he's saying marriage is a covenant that you made with the wife of your youth, but you're breaking it by doing all kind of abominable things. And 15 says, and did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. 16 says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hated putting away. He literally hated divorce. If you study it, it means divorce. For one covered violence with his garment. And he's saying the same thing that Nehemiah is saying. So verse 17 says, ye have wearied the Lord with your words, Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighted in them, or where is the God of judgment? And so when they questioned God, and God answered them, he said, you calling good evil, and you're calling evil good. Don't we see that happen in the day? The laws of God is being perverted, and they think it's okay. Homosexuality is okay. Cheating on your wife or husband is okay. They're accepting the sin in the nation as good. And the churches, many of the churches are in agreement and accepting these things because they want to be liked. They want to be accepted by people. We can't compromise God's standard, God's covenant, because we're looking for membership or looking for a large congregation. The next problem they have was problem in society. They were dealing with all kind of things in society when they were dealing with taxes, the way they tax people and taking advantage of people. Like today, people are struggling, but you got to pay all kind of taxes. The government taking out a lot of your bills. And so the same thing that you're dealing with today is back then in those times. Verse 4 of Malachi, Nehemiah chapter 5, it says that there were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, which is taxes, and that upon our land and vineyard. And so they were being taken advantage of back then. And people are being taken advantage of right now by having to do so much with the little monies that they're earning. It said, verse 5 said, yet now our flesh is the flesh of our brethren, our children as the children, and lo, we are being in bondage, our sons and daughters, to be their servants. And so even your children will be effective because it's a bondage. Bondage is happening. It happened back then. And so God said these things were happening then, and nothing has changed. They had to deal with disobedience, the principle of giving. And that's Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 to 11. And it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Then it says, 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. But ye bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, this is verse 10, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out of a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive. And he said, we are robbing him, the whole nation. And he said, he wants me to be in the storehouse, whether that is feeding people, taking care of people, making sure their needs are met. And so the people were not following this instruction because they had no fear. Verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and ye shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your wine cast her fruits before time in the field, said the Lord. And so the both of them deal with this. And God is saying today, nothing has changed. In fact, it's worse today because he said evil is going to get worse. Bless his name. And so last night, when I stopped where I was telling you, where there is no fear of God in the nations and the churches, he will move quickly by wrath and judgment. And we see this in the book of Proverbs chapter 1. And it says, in verse 26 says, I will also laugh at your calamity, and I will mock you when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me. And the, oh, glory to God. And verse 28 says, I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? Because there is no fear. God is saying tonight, they have fear of what is coming upon the earth. They have fear of everything else. But he said, they don't fear me. And he said, those who don't fear me, when they call upon me, I am not going to answer. This is chapter 1 and verse 28. He said, when you call, I'm not going to answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. 29 says, for they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The Bible says knowledge is power. God wants us to be knowledgeable about what is happening in this last hour. Not just be religious, but we should know what's happening around the world. Watch the news. And it says, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So a lot of people today in the body of Christ do not choose to fear God. 30 says, they would none of my counsel. They despise all of my reproof. God is saying they don't want me to counsel them. They're not listening to what my words say. They despise when I reprove them. The Bible says we must suffer reproof, correction, instruction, and rebuke in righteousness. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their ways or their own way. Verse 31, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And so the word of God is speaking to us directly to let us know what God is feeling and how he's feeling about the lack of fear and what is going on. Isaiah chapter 57 and 11 says, and of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? What does God say? I held my peace. It didn't seem like I was moving, but I give you a chance to repent. But still, you don't fear me. Ecclesiastes 8 and 13 says, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fareth not before God. And so there are wicked people, not only in the world, but you are wicked people in the body of Christ. And God said, he don't fear me, bless his name. And his life is going to be like a shadow. He's going to die. Psalm chapter 36, 1 to 4 says, to the chief musician of David, the Psalms of David, the servants of the Lord, the transgression of the wicked said within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattered himself in his own eye until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 18 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They all are gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So if we in the body of Christ think we got it all together, God said we need to be delivered because none of us have it together. Glory be to God. He said their mouth is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poisons of apps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of deceit and cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. Hallelujah, tonight, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There are many in the body of Christ that has no fear of God in their eyes. And the things that God is listening here is happening right in the lives of those who call themselves believers and Christian people. And it says, verse 5 says, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the idolaters and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages and the widows and the fatherless and that turn aside the strangers from his right and fear not me, said the Lord of hosts. And so these things are happening, and God say they doing it because they do not fear me, the Lord of hosts. Verse 16 says, Then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that taught upon his name. And so what God is saying tonight, the people that fear him, he said, I have a book. He said they began to talk to each other. Listen to what God is saying. Then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another. So many in the body of Christ don't speak to each other. They don't talk to each other. We don't even say hi to each other. But he's saying they speak to each other, and the Lord listened. He said, I hearken unto those who were speaking to each other. I heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them. Why? He said that had the fear of the Lord and that taught upon his name. And so it's important that we come together, because God is saying that it's time for a shift in the body of Christ. It's time to come together because we are better and stronger together. And verse 17 says, and they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, that in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spear them as a man spared his own son that serveth him. He said, then the day that he make up his jewel, his people, when he come to get his people, he will remember these type of people that live in fear of him. We got to realize that God is looking for the fear and reverence and honor and respect that he deserves, because it's very important for us to walk in fear. Then shall you turn and discern, verse 18, between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not God. We have to have discernment to know who is righteous, to know who is not righteous, to know who is really serving God, to know who is not serving God. This is the word of God. God has not changed. Hallelujah. We should have such godly fear, reverence, honor, and respect. Hallelujah for him. The same as those people did back then in the days of old. God is looking for a change in this hour. Bless his name. Because when you look at it, and if we examine ourselves and examine the body of Christ, we could honestly say the type of fear that God is looking for is not being seen in the body of Christ. Glory be to God. God is asking, where is my fear? Don't we see the handwriting on the wall? Don't we see the warnings of God that is in the earth to all the signs and the things that are happening to tell us now this is the time to really fear who I am and turn to me in full and true repentance, not halfway repentance and halfway service and halfway worship. He wants all and none. If we are not ready to go all out, then we need to just step back until God, until we are ready to fully give it all up to God. Because he said, do not be lukewarm. In the book of Revelation, don't be lukewarm, because I'm going to spew you out. What does spew means? I'm going to vomit you out. I'm going to get rid of you. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 22, 10 to 12, we're talking about Abraham. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not the, hallelujah tonight, God. Hallelujah, Jesus, glory to God. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Glory be to God. Abraham had so much fear of God that he did not even question God. God, he was waiting on this promise from God for a son, a seed, for years and years. And now God is telling him, I want you to take the promised seed, the promised child I give you, go and kill him for me. And Abraham didn't question him. He just took the lad and went on his journey. Bless his name. Why? Because he had a genuine fear of God. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 22 and 12, the angel told Abraham that he know now that Abraham had a real fear of God, because he was willing to give up something that God promised him, something he wanted all his life. We need to really examine ourselves to see if we are really walking in the fear of God the way God desires and expects us to do it. Are we willing to give up something that means so much to us if God asks us to do it? To prove how much we love him, to trust him completely, 100%, and have faith in him and in his word without doubting him? What if God asks us to give up something like he did to Abraham? What if he asks you to give up your house, give up your land, give up your job, your money, your wealth, your car, your family, your child? What if he tests us like he tested Job?
What if he asked you to die for him, to give up everything that you worked so hard to accomplish? Would you be willing to walk away like Abraham, to trust him like Job, to lead you and order your steps? What would we be willing to do that? If he asked you to walk away from family and friends, leave everything that you are familiar with to please him and obey him like he did with Abraham. He tell him to leave everything and go to a new country. Abraham really loved and feared God. And so this is the type of fear and reverence and love that God is looking for from the body of Christ. Abraham was a man of faith. Glory be to God. And if we're not operating in faith, then that means we're operating in fear. Hebrews chapter 11 and 6 said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, which means he exists. You got to believe God exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so God is saying tonight, if you are in the body of Christ and you're lacking faith, then it's impossible to please him. We can't just believe that we have faith to go to heaven when Jesus comes, and we don't believe God that he is a doctor to heal. He's a doctor to cure. His word says this, and God wants us to put our faith in another level. When he say it is so, then it is so. Abraham had that type of faith. If God said it is so, he believed God, and God is trying to bring us into that avenue, bring us into the position in our walk with him that we have to have the type of faith, because we are the seed of Abraham, and so we should be believing God like he did. If we were to examine ourselves, people of God, are we living in fear of God, or do we really have faith in God? What is faith? What is faith tonight? What does faith mean to you? Faith, the definition, is the conviction of truth of anything. Belief. In the New Testament, it is of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy favor born of faith and joined with it. It is relating to God. It is also the conviction that God exists and is creator and ruler of all things. He is the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. And that is from the lexicon, the definition of faith. Job's character was one that was perfect. We're talking about Job. And he was upright. He eschewed evil, which means he departed, he rejected it, he declined evil, and he put evil away. He walked in the fear of God, meaning he had reverential trust in God, and he hated evil. He operated in that same fear that Abraham had for God. Bless his name. And this is where God is trying to bring us in the body of Christ to, that reverential trust and fear, where we come to the point, some of us really don't hate evil that much in the body of Christ. Some of us enjoy seeing evil because of the fear. Some of us, hallelujah, have no compassion. And God wants us to have compassion and stay away from evil things and evil people. Bless his name. But so many that said they are saved and are Christian, some you will see them encouraging something that is not pleasing in the eyes of God. Genesis chapter 18 and 21 says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able man, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands and rulers over hundreds and rulers over fifties and rulers over ten. And so we're talking about Moses tonight, where Moses' father-in-law advised him on how to deal with Israel. And so in this you see that God tell him, when you pick out the people, you make sure pick out men that have a fear of God. Let me read it again. Moreover, he tell Moses, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and hundreds, fifties and tens. He told him that he was going to wear himself out. His father-in-law said to Moses, if you don't get some help, you're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear these people out, because Moses sat from morning till night judging these people. And God sent his father-in-law to give him advice on what kind of men he should choose to help with the work of God in judging the cases of the people. They had to be qualified. You can't just pick anybody to do the work of God. Hallelujah. You just can't, because a person is talented and gifted, you putting them in positions and giving them office in the place of, in the house of God, and they're not qualified. They don't have no fear of God. They live any type of lifestyle. And so you have to be qualified in order to do the work of God. They had to be able men, men that were, that hate the sin of the land. Leaders must have a very sharp, discerning spirit in this last hour and be careful who they are choosing to deal with the things of God, especially now. Hallelujah, there is so much deception going on. Many are talented and gifted, like I said, but they do not have the qualities God is looking for. Are they qualified to deal with the things of God and God's people? It's a question that we need to ask. Are you qualified? Then for one, if you're going to pick somebody, they should be going through some training process. They should be sitting down and going through training, and you need to watch them. But some people just got saved, and because they're gifted and talented, and it feels like the anointing, they would pick them and give them positions. But if you read this word here, Moses had to be careful who he was putting, hallelujah, to deal with the people of God. There are two foundations of fear that we are operating from. The first foundation is the foundation of fearing God. The second foundation of the, is the foundation of not fearing God. You're operating over one of those foundations. Examine ourselves tonight. Which one are we operating on? The foundation of fearing God or the foundation of not fearing God? We may say we fear Almighty God, but oh my God, or think that we do, but looking at the fact that we say and looking at the fact of what we say and how we think don't line up, because our actions show something completely different. And so if we was to examine ourselves tonight and see what we're saying and see how we're acting, do we really fear God? Do we? The dictionary has so many meanings to describe the word fear, but in the Bible, according to the Hebrew translation from the Strong's Concordance, it is talking about a reverent, a dreadful, exceedingly fear or fearfulness. Fear of God here refers to a specific sense of respect or adoration, submission to a deity. All through the Old Testament, this word fear was the number one theme. Bless his name. If you look to the Old Testament, my God, everything was about fear. Psalms chapter, Luke chapter 1 and 50 says, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Psalms 25 and 12 to 14 and 14 says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Hallelujah, Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 and 22 says, servants, obey in all things your masters. Those who you are working and you have a boss, he said, obey your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And we talked about master earlier. And so God said you should even fear God in the way you're dealing with your boss and the way you're dealing with your employer. It's biblical. Some of us grumbling and complaining when we're working for a person, we get agitated and an attitude. But God said you better do this and have the fear of God the way you, they might not be what you think they should be. They may be rough, but God said you must have some fear. Proverbs chapter 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge, I'm sorry. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 15 and 33, the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Psalms 111 and 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandment, his praise endured forever. Proverbs 9, 10 to 11 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life be increased. And so he's saying here, by fearing God, your days shall be multiplied. God is saying you're going to live long, and the years of your life shall increase. Don't you see the reason why a lot of death is happening? Because there is no fear of God in the land. There's no fear in the churches, in the nation. And so God is saying tonight, their lives are cutting short because there is no fear. Proverbs 14 and 2 says, and 16, 26 to 27 says, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him. A wise man feared and departed from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. And so because we as the people of God fear God, he said even our children will have a safe place. So our children's safety depends on how we fear God. Bless his name. And the fear of the Lord is a foundation of life to depart from the snare of death. And so if you want to live, he said, it's by fearing me. Proverbs chapter 13 and 17 says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Not sometimes. He said, be in the fear of the Lord. We should be walking, hallelujah, tonight, God help me. We should be walking in the fear of God every day, all day long. Proverbs 22 and 17. But we seem to not realize that what God is expecting of us, because we only fear God when something dreadful happens, some type of hurricane or event happens, then everybody become afraid. But he said, let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't look at them, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Proverbs 19 and 23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that had it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 8 and 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and a froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 2 and 5 says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Psalms chapter 112 and 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. Psalms 19 and 9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalms 128, 1 to 4 said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the side of thine house, thy children like olive plant around thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be that feareth the Lord. And so God is showing us the blessings that is going to happen to those who walk in fear of God. Psalms chapter 2 and 11 says, serve the Lord with fear. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. God is saying, when you come to my house, serve me with fear and rejoice with trembling. But we don't see that in the house of God. We come in casual and unconcerned and with all type of things going on. Psalms 19, 1 to 12 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And so God said, Fear is better than gold. Fear in me is better than honey and honeycomb. And we know gold is precious. We know gold is beautiful. We know honey is so sweet. So what is God saying tonight? When you have the fear of me, this is how you look in my sight. This is how I see you. I see you as gold. I see you as honey. So God is saying tonight, for you, for us to look the way he wants us to look, the way he desires us to be, we've got to have some type of fear and reverence for who he is. Psalm chapter 33, 8 to 9, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Not just the church, but he said the inhabitants of the world, the earth shall fear the Lord. If we look around the earth, do not fear the Lord. The inhabitants of the world does not stand in awe of God. They're trying to shut the church down. They're burning the churches. Hallelujah. The Christians are being persecuted, being killed, bless his name, because there is no fear of God. You can cuss and you can carry on and do profanities and promote homosexuality, this LGBTQ in public, but when it comes to the name of Jesus, when it comes to talking about God, they want to shut you down and they want to carry you to court to shut you down because you don't want to accept them, but they want you to, accept them, but they don't want to accept us. For he spake and it was done, and he commanded and it stood fast. He said we should fear him because when he speak, it is done. When he command, it stands fast. Don't we see how powerful God is? Psalm 34, 9 says, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. When we fear God, God said, I will meet your need. I will take care of everything that you need. You won't even have to struggle. Psalm 34 and 11 says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He exhorts to fear of God. And so God is saying, I want to teach you. I want to teach you how to fear me. Psalms 86 and 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. We should even fear the name of the Lord. There's no more fear for the name of Jesus. They use it loosely and carelessly, and even when they're cussing, you hear them using the name of Jesus. All about them, their movies and films, they're using the name of Jesus. We don't fear the name of the Lord. We don't fear Elohim, El Shaddai. There is no fear of God anymore. Psalms 85 and 9 says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. That glory, that glory may dwell in our land. So when we begin to fear God, he said the glory of God will come in the land. Psalms 147 and 11 said, the Lord taketh pleasure in him that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. Proverbs 15 and 16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble therein. So when you have a little fear and you don't have much, hallelujah, you might not have much money, much food, whatever, but he said, better is little with the fear of the Lord than having great treasures. You have all the monies, all the diamonds, the golds, and the silver in the world, and it comes with trouble, and you don't even fear God. So he said, those who have little and fear me, they are living a much better life. So don't complain when we don't have it. Don't murmur when we don't have it. But if you're walking in fear, God is going to take care of us. Psalms chapter 10 and 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Do we hear what God is saying tonight? Bless his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs 10 and 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Ecclesiastes 8, 12 to 13, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. So even though they are there doing evil, God is saying, in all that is happening now in the world, all the evil that is happening, all the murder and the bloodshed and the violence and the death and COVID-19 and everything that's happening, he said, it shall be well with them that fear fear God, which fear before him. And so the way, another way of protection besides the blood of Jesus, God is telling us tonight, is to walk in fear of him. When you don't have no fear, your days will not be prolonged. That is what God is saying. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not God. Anytime there is no fear of God, there is no long life to them. You want to see a lot of young people dying to accidents and fire and all of these, everything on the bad news. It's about death and accidents and destruction. And that is because there is no fear of God. Job 28:28 says, and unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil, it is understanding. Jeremiah 5:21-25 said, hear this, O foolish people, without understanding. Have eyes and see not, ears and hear not. Don't you fear me? God is asking a question. Deuteronomy 14:23 says, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithes of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstling of thine herd and of thy flock, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God. And so he said, when you're given your tithes and you're eating and you're satisfied, your days will be prolonged. And God say if you, that he is going to prolong your days and he's going to protect you and keep you and feed you if you stand in fear of him all the days of your life. And so it's not to fear God now and then we turn away and we have no fear. He's looking for a prolonged fear. In fact, he said every day, all day. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole. Now, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of men. Fear God and keep his commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so God is telling us here to fear him. And he's going to judge everything that we do. In Exodus 20:20, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And so today in the body of Christ, many leaders, preachers, teachers are compromising and sugarcoating and downplaying the word of God when it comes to letting people know the truth. They don't teach you about hell, the lake of fire, and the fear of God, because they don't want to install fear. And they said, we don't want to instill fear in the people. Today, many preach everything except the fear of God. So many people in the body of Christ really do not fear God. And we could be honest and know that it's the truth on tonight. They live the way they feel, do anything that pleases themselves. We just act out of, oh, God, help me tonight. And so God is saying it's time to return back my fear to this, to the nation. It's time to get back in line. It's time to know me. Bless his name. Hallelujah tonight. Glory be to God. In Exodus chapter 18, it says, and the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. 19 says, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the people said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. And so when God called them to talk with them, the voice of God was so loud that things began to shake, and they began to get afraid. They became, so they said to Moses, you go and deal with God. There was a fear of God that came on the children of Israel because of the how powerful God is. If we realize how powerful God is, bless his name, we would walk in more fear than we're doing now. It all comes down to our perspective and our positions. The question is tonight, who is God and what is my perspective on his nature, his power, and his justice? Who is God to us? What is our perspective of God? And perspective means a particular attitude toward a way of regarding something or a point of view. Oh, my God, these are the words that is defining the word perceptive, perceptive tonight. What is your perceptive? What is your outlook? What is your standpoint of view tonight? What is your stance or what is your attitude? What is your frame of mind? This is what perceptive is talking about. What you look at, your standpoint of view, your position, your angle, your attitude, your reference, your approach, your way of looking and thinking, your vantage point. What is your interpretation? And so where are we tonight? What is our perceptive of God tonight? What positions do we find ourselves in? Are we walking in fear of God? Are we operating in the fear of, or are we operating in the fear of the devil? Or activating our faith in what God says? Once we come to a point in our lives, people of God, tonight, where we accept God for who he is and understand him in his entirety, we will change our thinking. We will change the way we feel. We will live out our lives showing special appreciation of what and who he has done for us. The work on Calvary should make us have such fear and reverence and respect for God and awe of what God did at Calvary. God didn't have to die. He didn't have to come down in flesh. He owed us nothing. Hallelujah tonight. When we really fall in love with God, it causes us to walk in godly fear, reverence, and respect. My God, when you fall, I'm telling you, when we really fall in love with God, our whole attitude will be, I fear God. I reverence God. It will show in the way we worship, it was shown in the way we praise, it was shown in the way we live. Even when we come to declare the word of God, there should be such a reverence and fear and respect as we declare God's word. Bless his name. Psalms chapter 147, 8-12 says, he delight not in the strength of horses, he taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord take pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope, hallelujah, tonight, in his mercy. God take no pleasure in the strength of a horse. And we know that horses have a lot of powerful legs. So he said, don't rely on natural things for strength. He don't even take pleasure in the legs of man. Don't do it, because man would fail you. But he said, the Lord take pleasure in them that have a fear of him and that are hoping in his mercy. Psalms chapter 118, 4-6 said, let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Verse 5 said, call upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me when I call upon him, he's saying tonight, and set me in a large place. Verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. And so we don't need to fear man. The Bible said we must fear God, who can kill both soul and body and cast all into a lake of fire. That's what we need to fear. We mustn't fear man, but a lot of us fear man more than we fear God. Revelation chapter 14, 6-7 says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. This is the last book, Revelation. And the angels were saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of water. The last book of the Bible is saying with a loud voice tonight, fear God and give the glory to him. People of God, God said, give me my glory that is due unto me. The way we give glory to God in the body of Christ, some of us, God is not pleased. He wants a real praise. He wants sincere worship. He said, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is in the earth. Don't we see the judgment of God is come? And worship him. He said, worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountain of water. There is only one God, and his name is Jesus. And so God is speaking to those that are doing their own thing, not only in the nations and in the world, but in the body of Christ. He said, you better fear me, for my judgment not only has come, but it's starting at the house of God. It's already started. It ain't just starting. It started years ago. So if it started years ago, don't you think his judgment is going to be intensified upon us if we don't fear God? In this hour, there is so much disrespect and lack of fear in the house of God. Bless his name for the presence of God. So many today come into his house and sit in the pew and pulpits, having their own conversation, preaching anything from the pulpit. My God, on tonight, when we can come into the house of the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, and be on a cell phone during worship, or when the word is going forth, we have no fear or respect. Respect for God. If while praise and worship is going on and we're still sitting complacent and relaxed, we have no fear of God. Bless his name. We can come into the presence of the Lord and just giving God no time. We have time all through the day. We have time all week long, like I said on last night. And God said, this is now my time. Focus on me. Anytime a word is coming forth from that pulpit, we got to recognize that God is speaking, unless you are in the wrong place and there is no presence and no anointing there, then I could understand. But if you are in the house of God where the presence of the Lord is and God is speaking and there's worship going on and we have the attitude to sit complacent, sit and don't even care, hallelujah, God, to give God the glory he deserves, to give him the praise he really deserves, then something is wrong somewhere. When we can come to the house of God looking holy, but live and dress, think and talk and act the way we feel, then our attitude is horrible. Our characters are messed up. We don't know how to treat each other. We don't show the love we should to each other. We don't walk in obedience to leadership. We disrespect each other. And leadership is very important. We can't just disrespect leadership. We come, hallelujah, we become all messed up in our minds to worship God. We disrespect each other in the body of Christ. We come to church when we feel like. We make sure go to work and be on our jobs every day, even if we are sick. But we choose when to come to church as if it doesn't matter. Some of us in the body of Christ are still lying and causing confusion, sowing discord in the body of Christ. God bless us, and we get too busy. When God bless you with houses and land, some people are so busy working out, they get too busy to come back to church. They come in, they get time. They say, I got to take out time. What you telling God? I'm taking out time to go to church. I'm taking out time to go to Bible study. But we go to work every day without fail because of the mighty dollar. When we can find excuses not to obey the rules that he has given for his house through his leaders, then we don't have no fear of God. When we stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of scornful, Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, we do not have fear of God. Our children don't have fear of God, and that is because we as parents have not instilled it in them, and we have failed God when it comes to the way we treat him. The lack of fear and reverence we have outside of the sanctuary matters. And so if we are parents, if we don't fear God, how we expect the children when they come to church to act? Or how we expect them to have a reverence of God when we ourselves have failed God miserably? Do we really fear God the way we should is a question tonight. The way we live in our homes and outside of the four walls of the sanctuary shows how we really fear God. Many people in the body of Christ, once they leave the four walls, do not know. You don't even know who they are. Their neighbors don't even know they're saved. People in their workplaces don't even know that they're saved. It's according to how you live. Where is the fear of God in the church is what God is asking us. Where is my fear? When we forget or fail to reach out to the poor, to the needy, the fatherless, God is saying, where is the fear? Do we really fear him? The strangers, the orphans, the sick, the prisoners. My God, loving our neighbors. The rehabilitating centers. When we put these things in our mind, do we don't even check for these parts. Do we really fear God? When we focus on ourselves and family and our needs and our wants more than those of the things and those of things around us and people around us, do we really fear God? The leaders or the shepherds and those that he's placed in authority to take care of his people fail them doing what they should do. Do they really fear God if they don't? When you have members or followers in the body of Christ that has no fear of leadership or the anointing on the leaders, that means that they have no fear of God. To show us that how serious God is about touching leadership, let's add a few of those who suffer the consequences of the leaders that they touch. Aaron and Miriam was an example. And Miriam, in Numbers chapter 12, 1 through 15, but I'm not going to read all of it. And Miriam, and verse 1 said, and Miriam and Aaron spake with against Moses because of his Ethiopian wife, the woman he had married. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Had he not spoken to us also? And the Lord heard it. And so they murmured against Moses, and they came up against God's anointed by questioning, who is Moses? You don't think God speaks us too? We have many people in the body of Christ that are saying, you know what? I could preach just like my pastor. I'm just as anointed as a leader. God ain't only speaking to them. God is speaking to me too. We have a lot of people with this attitude. And what happened next, if you read it, is that Miriam, he didn't touch Aaron, but Miriam was stricken with leprosy, and she had to be outside of the camp for 7 days. She couldn't come inside the camp, for God was punishing her for what she did. Another example is Ananias and Sapphira. But in Acts chapter 5, it says from verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, and his wife also being privy to it, bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and kept back part of the land? Understand what happened. That he came and tried to, not try, but he lied to Peter, but he failed to realize that he wasn't dealing with Peter. He was dealing with God himself. And so God tells Peter to tell him, why are you lying to me? We got to understand that when you lie to someone that God has placed in leadership, you are lying to God himself. So while in verse 4 said, while it remained, was it not thine? When you had it, Peter said, wasn't it yours? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast lied unto men, but not lied unto men, but you have lied unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down dead and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And so God killed him on the spot. And what it did, it brought fear on the people. And so this, God said, as it was in the beginning, people who tend to lie and think that they're getting away with it, especially when it comes to leadership, you're going to find people dropping dead. And God said, I'm going to bring fear back to the body, because there is no fear. People doing what they feel like doing in leadership, to leadership and in the body. But I'm going to get your attention in this last hour. And the young men arose and wounded him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was a space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what happened to her husband or what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of God? Bless his name. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her with her husband. And so she came in, they conspired together, and so people are conspiring together to come up against leadership. We need to be careful in conspiring and talking about leadership to other people because God is watching and God is going to deal with it. And greater fear, verse 11 says, and greater fear came upon all the church and upon many as heard these things. And so what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, caused a greater level of fear to come upon the church, that, and everybody began to fear. And so God is saying, what I'm getting ready to do, I'm getting ready to bring a greater fear in the body of Christ and upon my people because they've taken what is happening this hour lightly. The same spirit that dealt with Aaron and Miriam and Ananias and Sapphira is very much alive and still in operation in the body of Christ right now. Lies and deceit. They have no fear before God in his presence or out of his presence. Ananias and Sapphira thought they had secret. They thought they were dealing with a man, but it was quite clear that they were sadly mistaken. They were dealing with God himself. The wrong one to deal with is God. We got to be careful, bless his name. Hallelujah, because God is getting ready to move by devastation and destruction, bless his name, like never before. Proverbs 19, and I'm getting ready to wrap this up right now. Proverbs 19, 8 to 9 says, He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. And so that scripture goes to Ananias and Sapphira because that's exactly what they did. They were operating in a demonic force called lies, conspiracy, deception, plot, plan, and deception. They both came in together and conspired a plot to deceive God's servant, but death was their portion. Glory be to God. This is what I call a lack of fear and reverence for the presence of God, the lack of respect for leadership. You will also find some forces operating in leadership in many churches worldwide because there is no fear or reverence or respect for the presence of God. We leave the house of God and do whatever we want. And so God is saying, I am bringing judgment back to my house. This is the hour that he wants us to get it together. This is the hour that we need to turn from some things that we are doing because the fear of God is real, people of God. Bless his name. Hallelujah. The fear of God, God is looking for it. Bless his name. And God is saying it's time. This means our attitude will be different toward God and the things of God, the will of God, and the kingdom of God. Our attitudes will cause us to be more positive than negative when we fear God. Our attitude will cause us to walk in obedience, remembering that disobeying his word comes with consequences. An example of this can be found in the book of 1 Kings. Hallelujah. With the disobedient prophet. People of God, tonight, as I am ending this, let me tell you something tonight. We are living in the last hour. We are living in crucial times. We're living in a time where God is speaking. I read to you many scriptures, bless his name, that he gave me to put out there. Because it's impossible for us to say that we fear God without the wisdom as we read. It's impossible to say that we have a fear of God and we still doing the same old thing and living the same old way, worshiping the same old way, doing the things that we are so comfortable with and so used to. And so God is speaking to the body of Christ and the nation at large that it's time for my fear to be in the earth. It's time for my fear to be in the churches. It's time for my fear to be instilled in the children, to be instilled in us. to be still in the government, in the nation. God is speaking. Glory to God tonight. God is asking us the question, after all that we heard tonight, where is my fear? Is my fear really in the body of Christ? Is my fear really in your life tonight? Do you really fear me? God is asking us tonight. And so God is saying it's time to examine ourselves as his people. Examine to see where we are with God. To see if, see, to examine our lives, to see where we lack the fear and the reverence for what we're doing for God, the sacrifice and what we're giving to God. Let's examine. I've examined myself. And when God gave me this word, it brought on me a level of fear for God that I don't even want to miss service. I don't even want to skip church. I want to do more for the kingdom. I want to reach out more. I want to serve God more because there's a level of fear and reverence, hallelujah, tonight that God has brought in my life through his word. Glory be to God, because I don't, when I stand before God, I want God to be pleased with me, bless his name. And so I believe tonight God is going to start doing some things in the lives of his people that are going to get their undivided attention, and he's going to bring fear from the pulpit to the door. God is going to do some things in the body of Christ that is going to turn us to fear him. Hallelujah, as he did for Israel. The mountain began to shake and they had a fear. And so God, I'm getting ready to shake up some things. I'm getting ready to overturn some things that is going to cause the fear of who I am to come back in the pulpit, to come back in the pews, to come back in the lives of his people. God wants us to fear by Shandora Bahosa. Fear God and keep his commandments. He said, "For this is the whole duty. This is our duty. We're doing everything else as our duty except what God tells us to do." Hoya tabo shanda da bahaya, Jesus, tonight. And so God is speaking. But are we listening? And I'm done tonight. And I want to encourage you tonight that have gathered here to hear the word of God concerning where the fear is. Where is the fear? He asks the question in Malachi, where's my fear? Where is it, God is saying tonight? Where's the fear in our children tonight? Come, we need to come up higher in the things of the Lord. We need to get more kingdom-minded and start walking in that godly fear that God is looking. And so tonight, as I'm done with this, and I'm encouraging you tonight, all over every nation, fear God. Every nation, everyone tonight, God is saying, fear me. Walk in reverence, in awe. Walk in, respect my presence, respect my house. Give me what I deserve. Fear me in the way you worship. Fear me when you enter the doors of my house. Fear me in the way you praise me. Fear me when you bring forth a sermon, when you're giving a message. Fear me when you prophesy. Fear me when you're giving a message. Fear me, said, oh, shamandoro, shataya, yabo, sheke, huramandoro, shilekaya, huria, shekindo, shamande. Fear me. Hugo, she, yes, God, I hear you. But he said, I'm going to bring it back, and it's not going to be pretty. So if you're on the line and you want us to pray, but if you're okay, then that's fine. If you're on the line and you need to repent, then this is the best place and the best time to repent and turn to God in true fear and reverence of who he is tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, people of God. We've heard the word on tonight. Amen, Jesus. God is looking for his fear, his reverence. Amen. It is time for us to fear him. It's time for us to take a look, amen, of how we are walking before him. Glory be to God. The Lord is asking, where is my fear? So we give God praise and we give God thanks for the word on tonight. Certainly, people of God, we have taken a broad perspective at the fear of the Lord. Amen, Jesus, for us to really consider where we are and to really consider where we stand. Amen. So the woman of God has opened the line. If there's anyone that would like prayer on tonight, anyone, as she has stated, that would like to, amen, come and make confessions tonight, you can. Glory to God. You can press star six. You can press star six. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord tonight.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me properly?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I was trying to get the other phone because when you were talking, it's like a lot of stagnation was in, you know, it was making a lot of funny noise. I was concerned, but if you can hear me, that's fine. Yes,
we can hear you. Amen. People of God, we just want to let you know that you can get a copy of the broadcast on tonight. Certainly, you can text us. Amen, Jesus. You can text us at 912-257-3918, 912-257-3918, or you can text us at 229-529-0914. Amen. Or for our international listeners, you can reach out and go to our Facebook page. There, click on the link for tonight, 1031, and you will be able to listen to the broadcast there. Also, you can Google Prayer News Network and certainly get a copy of the broadcast on tonight. Amen. Or, again, you can text us via WhatsApp. That number is 678-608-7234. Again, that's 678-608-7234. Amen. So we, again, give God thanks and praise on tonight. Glory be to God. People of God, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your patience on tonight. Glory to God to hear the word of the Lord. Amen, Jesus. And tonight, prophetess, we're going to turn it back over to you for the dismissal of the line since no one came over for prayer. If you could go ahead and dismiss us on tonight. God bless you. You have the platform.
Amen. Bless the Lord, people of God, tonight. We're really living in the time, directly in the time of the end. We're living in the time of labor and sorrow. And so God is really speaking profoundly, expressly and especially to the body of Christ. Because sometimes that we may think that we are there, but when we examine ourselves to the word of God, and we began to see where we are, because the word of God will point out to you where you are and who you are and cause us to examine ourselves. And so God is saying this is now the time really to examine ourselves to see if we are lining up. We won't have it all together. Yes, we'll make mistakes. Yes, we'll fall now and then, but that's where the blood of Jesus comes in. But what God is looking for in this last hour, because we only have a few years left before there is a, what they call a rapture, the calling away, the caught up, being caught up. We don't have much years for that to happen. And so God wants us in the body of Christ to really get it together. He wants us in the body of Christ to really have this such reverence and awe and respect and fear of who he is in this last hour, that Our lives will outspeaking our lives will be a testimony that the way we live
in that reverence and fear and respect of God, people would want to serve God. People would want to be a part of the body of Christ, but they're seeing so much things happening right now going on and the lack of fear from us that they don't desire to be a part of the church because too much is going on in the church with the fighting and the pulling and all the things that, that you know, these people all over Facebook and these apps, these funny ministries that are coming up now and doing all kind of foolishness in the house of God. And so people are watching that, and they have a problem with being saved. They, when you hear the word Christians, it brings a bad taste in the mouth of so many. And the reason that it's because the level of fear we should have, we don't have it. And God is calling us to fear and reverence him even more in this hour because his coming is soon. And because we need to turn people unto God. Because we need to turn sinners to God. Because we need to go out there. But when they come, let them see the reverence and the fear and the respect that we give God so they can know that. Because if you look at the children of Israel, the people feared them because of who they were. And so we thank God tonight for all of you that took the time to listen from every place that you came listening from in your houses or wherever you are tonight. God bless you on tonight. Bless his name. Hallelujah. God keep you on tonight. God cover you with the blood of Jesus. May you be covered tonight. I cover the staff with the blood of Jesus, the prayer warriors with the blood of Jesus tonight, the advisors and PNN at large. Minister Bradley, Evangelist Bradley, I cover each and every one of you tonight with the blood of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you would instill the fear of who you are in the body of Christ, that you would instill the fear of who you are in leadership, oh God, that you would instill the fear of God in the nations, Father. Bring our hearts to fear you, God. Touch our hearts to stand in awe of you, Lord God, because you deserve more than we can ever give. We can never give you the praise that you deserve. We can never give you the worship that you deserve. We can never love you the way you love us, oh God. And so we thank you, God, that you will shift our mindset into fearing you and to loving you with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God, that, oh, Shamandara Bahosaya, that you would release an anointing, God, that would cause us to want to obey you, God, to follow your instructions in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we may leave this prayer line, but we will never leave your presence, God, because you're always with us. You promise never to leave us, and you promise never to forsake us, to be with us unto the end of the world. And every whom tonight, oh God, bind the will of the enemy and make the devil behave and bring every work of darkness to naught during this evil Halloween night, during this evil time. God and protect us. Release angels, oh God, with flaming sword of fire to fight for us tonight and keep our children covered in the name of Jesus in the schoolhouses. Cover their minds, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Cover their bodies. Cover their life. In the name of Jesus, we declare the covering, the blood of Jesus over us right now, over everything on our workplace, God, traveling along the busy highway. May you, God, cover us, oh God, and keep us safe from danger seen and unseen. Hallelujah, God, until we meet again in the name of Jesus. I seal this tonight in Jesus' name. God bless each and every one of you. And again, I thank God for the opportunity and for your listening ear. Let be blessed tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, prophetess. We do again give God thanks and praise for you on tonight. Amen, Jesus. Just want to pray that the Lord will keep and cover you on tonight, that he will shield and protect you in his shed blood. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, we thank you again for your servant. We thank you, oh God, for her willingness. We thank you for her sacrifice that she has labored to bring forth this word unto your people. We give you thanks and we give you praise. We're asking that you would cause your angels to cover her, to shield her, going out and her coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Cause your face to shine upon her. We do pray in the precious name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen. Jesus, we apologize. We didn't, amen, get to cover you in prayer. Amen. Before you gave your final remarks, but we thank God for you today. We bless God for you today. Don't forget, people of God, you can get a copy of the broadcast Simply text us either one of those numbers. We'll get it out to you. Amen. Come back. We want to encourage you to come back on tomorrow night. Come back to be with us. Come back. Invite someone to come and be with you for the Prayer News Network Global. We give God thanks. We give God praise again. And we look to see you on tomorrow night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This session is no longer being recorded. Bye.